The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies with you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, November 25th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, happy Thanksgiving week, all.
Happy Thanksgiving week to you and Eric Bickle.
That's a nice deflection. I like it. Think about something positive.
Sure, you got to start off on a decent note.
I like that, Cakes.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You going to wallow in misery all day long?
I mean, football-wise, I'm miserable. Sure. Life-wise, I'm great.
But it is a Misery Monday sponsored thing. Of course, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. We'll be talking about the Commanders loss to the Dallas Cowboys from all angles. And I don't even know where to start. What a crazy finish it was. Because with roughly 3 minutes to go in the game, it's still 20-9.
Yeah.
The Commanders had 9 points through 56 minutes of the game. Now, in the last 4 minutes, they scored 17, and there were so many twists and turns, and I can't imagine the emotions of a true Commanders fan at the end.
I've never experienced that kind of...
The highs and lows.
Highs and lows, and that quick of a period.
Sure.
I mean, we've all experienced highs and lows, right? I mean, I go back to when Duke scored 10 against us, against the Terps in a minute, you know, whenever that was, you know, 15 years ago, whatever. But that was... devastating. And the thing is, you could see it coming because you saw Seibert had been struggling, probably came back too early from injury. That's what I'm guessing. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, if he wasn't 100%, why not stick with Gonzalez for another week? I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of second guessing now.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he demonstrated he could kick the 51 yarder, you know, but something wasn't right. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect snap. I mean, you know, I don't know. I've never experienced that. Like, because when McLaurin makes that play and just blows by everybody to get in the end zone.
You weren't thinking go for two? You're usually conservative.
I never, for a half second, never ever did
go for two. I never thought about going for two.
And we'll talk about it later and take calls.
At home, I think even the general rule is at home you go for one.
You've got them on your heels. You're about to eat. I mean, you had no business being in that spot.
Because if he goes for it and he flubs it and they don't convert, he's going to get second-guessed from now until the end of time for that decision.
Oh, but with Jaden Daniels, a two-point conversion.
Now, I understand it's...
Honestly, I never thought about it for one second.
It's a good play for his skill set. And if you're...
And they converted one earlier.
If you're a massive underdog and you're on the road against a way better team and you don't want to go to overtime and get exposed even further, go for it. Go for two. But at home... you kick that extra point, and you go to overtime.
I'm always a go-for-two guy. But they were fortunate to be in that position. 20-9, this is probably the emotion, DB, I would imagine. 20-9, you feel defeated. You're like, ugh. Kind of that same old skin.
From the second quarter on.
Especially because the offense, for the most part, was lifeless. Besides Jaden Daniels, they couldn't run the football. Mm-hmm. The explosive offense.
Cliff lost his bag.
Yeah.
He's just handing off on first and second down all the time. We were in third and longers.
Oh, so many third and longs in that game.
It was
maddening.
He put Jaden in a really, really tough spot. Jaden was getting pressured all over the place. He missed some throws, too, where he wasn't pressured. But I hated the offense.
Yes. We're going to talk about Cliff Kingsbury's offense again from all angles later in the show. But that's the majority of the game. I mean, you have 3 points at the half.
No, the game was dreadful.
You have 9 points at the end of three quarters. Like I said, 56 minutes in, you're still on 9 points. But then the emotions of scoring. Jaden 7-for-7 on that drive. Now, maybe you can say, well, Dallas is in a different type
of
defense.
They were definitely backing off, no doubt.
They're backing off. But he still completes 7-of-7, hits Ertz for the touchdown pass. They convert the two-point conversion. Now you have a glimmer of hope. You're down a field goal. And then you have the kickoff return.
Kavante.
The kickoff return, which
three times. Which, and then runs
I almost
right
hate to say this. I mentioned Turpin speed last week. You know what? I'm going to borrow the pack batting machine. Even though I predicted a win, and I thought we should win. I was scared of this game, and I was scared of like three guys. Micah Parsons, who was a huge player in the game, obviously. Everyone knows. You're not stupid. He's a great player. CeeDee Lamb, who maybe didn't have a massive impact, but he had a bunch of catches, kept their offense going. And then I mentioned this guy. I didn't even know who that guy was 3 weeks ago. That guy's speed
is insane.
Yeah, he caught the slant
also,
the week before.
To the house.
That's where I noticed
the Commanders defense. They made Cooper Rush actually look good because
they could get no pressure.
They couldn't pressure him
throughout
the game.
And no pressure.
I tweeted as bad as the offense was, the defense was actually more culpable, and I got attacked for that. I got attacked for a billion things yesterday, obviously. But if you don't pressure Cooper Rush, of course he can hit layups like he did to Schoonmaker. Now, the touchdown pass to Tolbert was nice. I'll give him credit on that. But he is a
most of guys are wide open too.
Backup quarterback that should never be able to carve you up. And that's exactly what he did to that defense.
Well, I said before the game, if we lost, it would be an absolute devastating, humiliating loss. And that at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Well, it is. You lose to a team that lost five in a row, that had been given up 35 points per game, that had the second worst rushing defense in the league. Now, statistically, the Commanders ran for 145 yards, which isn't bad. And I know that Jaden is a big part of the running game. He had 7 carries for 71 yards.
They tried to force the run that wasn't there.
But the non-Jaden rushes
were terrible.
Was 18 runs for 71 yards.
Exactly. They kept forcing it. I was livid. Livid. They kept trying to force something that wasn't there. And I think at the end of the day, this comes down to we're just a little bit under-talented. I mean, we just still aren't talented enough.
What I wanted to say is, so Turpin gets that kickoff return. Now you're defeated again as a fan, right? It's 27-17.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Washington gets the ball back. Moves the ball down the field, settles for the 51-yard field goal, 7-point game, 27-20. You're thinking long shot because you're going to have to use your timeouts. Mm-hmm. You can get the ball back with very little time, but it plays out that way that they get the ball back.
I'll give Quinn credit. I don't think he had a great day. The way they managed the clock there, perfect. They literally managed it to perfection. In that instance,
they get the ball back.
Is that even that hard to like? He's been coaching forever.
No,
like,
we can do that from home.
I should be able to do that.
No. I didn't know necessarily that you would kick that field goal right at that moment. I hadn't done the math. I'm not a statistician.
Right.
I didn't know to kick it at that point.
Well, he also, I'm sure, has somebody in his ears.
Of course.
Kick the field goal.
You got to kick it now.
Yeah.
You got to kick it now. But I thought Greg Olsen was off. Yeah. Again, he kind of annoys me because he just assumed, and they did do an onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know why we do those in the NFL anymore. They're dumb. Everyone knows that you have to telegraph it. You have to tell them, oh, we're going to kick it onside. I'm sure that's going to work.
Yeah, but it worked in the Bears game.
Okay.
Yeah, but it works like less than 10%.
Well, that's how it's always been.
Yeah. I'd rather just kick it and hold, get them back at the 25 or whatever.
But although sometimes
we can't
kick
it out
of the
end zone. That's the problem, which again, I called. We got to kick the ball out of the end zone.
Anyway, you kick the field goal. 7-point game. You do what you need to do. You get the ball back, but you're in a position where if you get tackled on the field, mm-hmm. game's over.
Sure.
And they get the miraculous pass to Terry McLaurin where he's untouched.
Lightning strikes, and you're like, oh, they're going to tie the freaking game.
I thought it was a
fantasy. By the way, that's why I go for the jugular. Go for the jugular right there. Nah, end the game. You steal it.
Honestly, JP, until this morning, until you saying that, it's the first time I've heard someone actually suggest we go for two.
I'm generally a go for two guy.
Why would I want to turn it into a 50-50 proposition? I would rather just play good defense or win the coin toss and go down there and win.
I like to put it in my team's power to win the game. I don't think it's in control because you lose the... I know the overtime rules are different, but
just gotta make a stop.
I hate the overtime rules.
Well, I hate just
going
for two.
They're better than before, but they're still not great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. So many things to talk about in this game. Commanders fall to 7-5. That is three losses in a row. This narrative about Cliff Kingsbury's offense, can't escape it. You can't escape it. The second half for Cliff Kingsbury is bad. And then I heard something this morning that was interesting. Dan Quinn's first year in Atlanta, do you know what they started, EB?
No.
5-0. Do you know how they finished?
Who are we talking about?
Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
When he coached in Atlanta his first season, they started off 5-0. A lot of the things that people were saying about Dan Quinn.
6-12. I have no idea.
Finished the season going 3-8 in their last 11, finished 8-8. Now, second season, they made the Super Bowl.
Right.
But his first year in Atlanta, they started off super hot, 5-0, and then the league caught up to him. With Cliff Kingsbury's offense, that offense, it's gone. That explosive offense is gone.
I didn't want to give that fire any more oxygen about Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
I neither.
It's like falling apart in the second half, but apparently it's a real thing. I don't know if it's just teams catching up to him, critical injuries. But it seems
they're not
like
really that injured.
Well, they
compared to most teams in the league, they don't have that many injuries.
Well, we are now. Well, we're going to lose our two starting running backs.
Key offensive line injuries, running back injuries. Like they're starting to add up.
May not have affected this game. I mean, B-Rob missed the second half, right? Didn't come back for the second half.
Yeah, he was beat up. I didn't think he was going to come back for the initial.
The Cowboys came into that game without their
two starting guards,
without Brandon Cooks.
The defense should
not an excuse.
The Commanders' defense should have been much better in this game.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting a pass because the offense was kind of inept, too, until they caught fire.
Dallas was brutal. They were awful. We were worse.
Dallas tried to give it to them. Their first three drives, they're inside the 30. They have a field goal that's blocked. They have another field goal that
it was
Auburn seemed automatic.
Errors.
Dallas was awful.
They had a
early
punt that was blocked.
If the Commanders' defense could have done offense had done anything in the first half, it would have been a runaway victory.
Yes,
they couldn't get out of their own way.
It was brutal.
They were in third and long forever.
Yes, and they kept trying to give it to us. They kept trying to give us the game. And the fact that it was 3-3 at halftime was humiliating.
And then it hits it over by a lot.
And I'll tell you, the other reason why I think it never even occurred to me to kick that, to go for two at the end after the McLaurin score, is because here's what I actually thought in my brain, but I guess because I'm stupid. I thought, okay, now reality could set in and we could beat the terrible Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If we were playing like a Super Bowl champion, a team that it's like a miracle to beat them, go for it. We should be the superior team. So I thought, okay, the world is back in order. Now we'll just beat them the old-fashioned way. We'll kick the extra point.
Yeah.
We'll beat their asses in overtime. It never occurred to me for a second that I needed a gimmick two-point play to beat that horrible team. They suck.
I don't need a gimmick. I just give it to
here's what
I give it to Jaden on the edges and say we're going to win this game right now. That team is emotionally on their heels. They just gave up basically a Hail Mary play.
The old-fashioned beat down in overtime.
This is what I learned yesterday. There are no soft spots. We can't just chalk up wins against the Cowboys or the Titans, by the way, who beat a division rival yesterday, and their defense is fearsome.
Well, now, I'm dumb because I'm picking us,
Will
but
Levis,
I'm not confident.
Will Levis will give you the ball. he'll throw the ball to you and he'll get sacked a billion times. But that defense is almost impossible to run the ball on. So good luck to the Commanders next week. That is another tough out.
All right, we'll come back.
Back on double secret probation. Oh,
yeah, we'll come back, take your calls. Your reaction to the Commanders falling to the Cowboys 34-26 and your biggest takeaways. 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can also text the fan on the Thomas Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. And hit us up on X at Junks Radio. We've got John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com, joining us at 7. Our colleague check-in with Craig Hoffman at 8:20. But it is a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. So many things to talk about with the Commanders losing their third straight to fall to 7-5. All right, first two, understandable. Lost to Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But this game, really inexcusable. We all picked the Commanders. The only thing I'll say is, after the Thursday night game, we did say, sometimes in the NFL, division games can be dicey, because we saw the Steelers.
I wasn't that worried about that.
But we saw the Steelers lose to Cleveland. That was an 8-2 team, lose to a 2-8 team. And here the Commanders fall to Dallas. To me, the biggest takeaway, it's the offense. What happened to this offense? The offense sputtered. Truss Way, in the first 9 games, EB had 19 punts.
Mm-hmm.
Barely more than 2 punts a game. In the last 3, he's had 17, including 6 yesterday.
Yeah, the only, I don't know, I have to look at the numbers, but I know yesterday it was way too much early runs that weren't successful, and then we were in third and longers, and it made it a little bit more difficult. There was very little margin for error. And I feel like it's too much like short stuff or some deep ball, you know, miracle. There's not enough intermediate stuff.
There are a lot of drops too.
Drops they're handling.
Also, after Terry McLaurin, there's not a lot on this offense. Yeah. And we've talked about that throughout the year.
Well, they're using Noah Brown well.
Yeah, but he drops balls too.
He does.
He's not very effective. Zach Ertz, I mean, God bless him. He's one of the better targets, but he can't run anymore. I mean,
why are they only targeting Luke McCaffrey like 10 times?
Please never throw the ball to John Bates ever again. Like, what are we doing here? Why?
That guy, he's got to hold on to the ball.
All he should be doing is blocking. He should never be catching balls.
No, he should just hold on to the ball.
He should
just hold on to the ball.
Just never have balls thrown to him.
Yeah. By the way, that's a great play by them.
Yeah, I mean.
Great play.
I think that they caught him by surprise a little bit with John Bates, because he's mostly a blocker.
Jaden needs more talent around him.
No
that
question.
That is glaringly obvious.
They're throwing the kitchen sink at him. They're pressuring like crazy, and we're not, as a team, Jaden included, as a team, not handling the pressure well.
I don't know how true this is, but somebody tweeted us, and you can hit us up on X at Junks Radio. By the way, hundreds of people blaming Cakes. Hundreds, if not thousands.
It might be in the thousands.
No, I think
because Cakes said it was physically impossible.
30 seconds into the game, I saw the trend, and I go, I blame Cakes.
Physically impossible. Cakes, whenever he does the physically impossible deal, it does seem to go the other way. Although, you hit it on the Giants a couple weeks ago. So, just hundreds, if not thousands, of people on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on X, blaming Cakes.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that going around.
But, you know, I saw so many different theories, but one, and it's what we've discussed, is just that there was a blueprint after the Steelers game. And my thought after the Steelers game was, well, most teams don't have the personnel that the Steelers have. But there does seem to be something happening, because when you have your punter punt it 6 times and you had 4 3 and outs, that wasn't happening earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And here's the unfortunate thing, especially in the first half. I just went back and looked at it. In the first half, this is where they started with the ball, EB. Mm-hmm. Their field position was excellent.
No, they had incredible field
They finished
position.
With 3 points in the half. They started on the Dallas 40. That's excellent field position. Now, they did get a field goal there. They started on their own 32, missed a field goal. Started on the Dallas 47, had to punt. Started on the 42, had to punt. Started on the Dallas 39,
how many
interception.
I don't know this.
Think about that.
No, I already knew it. How many? They tried to give us the game, and we never capitalized on it, ever. How many? I don't know this, but it sure felt like a decent amount of three and outs. If not three
four
and outs.
Four three and outs.
If not three and outs, four and outs.
They had three.
Like we
I think
barely
they had,
got any drives
right,
going.
I think they had three straight three and outs in the second half.
Well, look at the time
so you
of
were
possession.
Pointing to the first half, and I'll point to the first half, but it wasn't that much better in the second half until the last 4 minutes.
Throughout the game,
of course.
Here are some of the third downs.
I agree.
Here are some of the third downs they were facing. Third and 12, third and 7, third and 7, third and 9, third and 9. Third and seven, third and seven.
Yeah,
now, there
those,
were some where they had third and short, like on the touchdown drive where Jaden rushed the ball in. They had a third and one and two third and threes.
They
like
were getting stuffed on first and second down. That's what you're pointing to. And it just made it, there was very little margin for error. I don't know that it was. If it wasn't run, pass, it was run, screen, pass. You know what I mean? It was never like consistent downfield stuff. Could never get into a rhythm. It was always third and long. We were dreadful. Dreadful on offense.
Also, in the last game, didn't Eckler have like eight catches? He had eight catches. Like, I'd rather he have five or six catches instead of just trying to slam Eckler into the meat of the defensive line.
Yeah.
That's not his strong suit. His strong suit is catching balls and breaking dudes down in the flat. And his other strong suit is he's a really good goal line runner. Why don't you play to your player's strengths, please?
But the weakness of the Dallas Cowboys team, and we had been talking about it, was they can't stop the run. You
I
can
know,
run
that's
right
why
up
they tried
the middle.
To force it.
Right. So they
it didn't
tried
work.
To do it, and for some
didn't
reason
work.
They can't. So maybe we should be talking about the offensive line failing a little bit, too.
I think the offensive line is regressing to the mean. They played way over their shoulders or whatever the cliche. What's a cliche? Over their heads.
Played over their heads.
Over their heads.
And over their shoulders, too, I
guess.
Yeah,
that counts. They played way over their heads for 7 or 8 weeks, and I don't know if it'd be a bit. I mean, again, Trent Scott's in there. He's like our fourth lineman.
Well, they're going to have their hands full with the Titans because the Titans' offense is up and down. Their defense is legit. Their defense will throttle a banged-up offensive line. Mm-hmm. They'll throttle a really good offensive line. So I'm worried about that matchup already for next
week. All right, before we get to that, and before we take the calls, and we'll go right to your calls at 800-636-1067, if you had to just pick one thing, Cakes, because there's 10 things we can point to. But if you had to pick one thing, the reason why they've lost three straight, what is that one thing?
Offense is stalling. The offense has just stalled. An offense that was mowing people down early, scoring 30-plus points, is not the same offense as it was in the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah, but why?
I can't point to one reason why. Maybe you point to the easiest thing. KK. Maybe it's something with Cliff. Maybe he just has, he gets figured out halfway through seasons and he can't adjust.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just bad at adjusting.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Know.
It's the offense. The why, there's so many things to it, EB, because I do think Jaden's not playing like he did earlier this season. He's not getting help, though, because Noah Brown's an example. He had two or three. Now, they were contested, but I would say they were drops. He's not getting great help. I do think the offensive line play has dropped off some. The biggest thing, though, in these three games offensively is they can't run the football like they did earlier in the season.
The run sets up everything.
So I know that they ended up with 145 yards, but as I pointed out, the non-Jaden runs was 18 for 71 against the Cowboys defense. If you watch them against the Texans, Joe Mixon, he was doing whatever he wanted to on the ground against them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm embarrassed to admit this, but we share the same brain. I was texting people yesterday. Why are they forcing the run? Only guy that's successful with it is Jaden. Why are they forcing it? It was infuriating as I was watching it unfold.
So to me, that's the biggest reason why the offense is sputtering. But the larger thing is, yes, the offense, which was playing at a historic pace, EB brought up a few weeks ago, this red zone percentage and drive percentage, it's all gone.
Well,
Tress Way was barely punting the ball, And now all of a sudden he's on the field punting six times a game.
Probably the biggest answer is regression to the mean. They play a little over their heads. Teams just, you know, putting more pressure, have more film, and we're just not doing a good job adjusting. And we're being exposed for not having more weapons, unfortunately, that are getting open quick enough. Our offensive line is being exposed, you know, and our running game is average.
Yes. Yes. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Your reaction to the Commanders falling to the Dallas Cowboys at home 34-26.
All right, let's go to, by the way, I'm very tilted. I have this icon right here, Cakes, on my computer. It's very difficult to explain this, but this Google Chrome little icon thing, I can't make that disappear. Look what's happening. It's just.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
I can't even concentrate. it won't go away. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. I hope it's Scott. Is it? Oh, it says Junior. Okay. Hey, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's happening?
Good morning.
Hey, I want to point out two things, at least in my opinion. The first thing would be what you guys were talking about a second ago, or JP, no run game. Would B-Rob out, you know, that using Eckler to run up the middle and be a workhorse sledgehammer, that's just not his forte, not what he was brought here for.
Totally agree.
Bad decision-making as far as personnel, because they cut Chris Rodriguez again for Jeremy McNichols and Austin Eckler. That's not a good thing.
Well, second Rodriguez all, will be back next week.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
sure.
they'll be giving him a call.
Yeah.
Yes. Second thing is, and last point, they, at one point during the game, this is against CK, Cliff Kingsbury, they had made a point that even though how bad the Cowboys are, CeeDee Lamb had 10 targets. We do not find a way to get McLaurin the ball, even though, and he's our alleged number one receiver. Well, not even alleged, he is. Mm-hmm. We don't find a way to get him the ball until it's emergency situations. But by then, even EB could cover him or know that the ball is going to him because, you know, he's the only option. Even the Hail Mary play, for the most part, it was a forced pass, you know, good play design. But everybody know the ball had to go to him.
Well, maybe they should move him around, too. This whole committed to being on the left side. By the way, he catches the miraculous touchdown pass on the right side. It's too predictable.
Maybe it is.
CeeDee Lamb is in the slot. He's inside, outside.
He's in the backfield.
Well, also, did you see what they do with Micah? Micah's all over the field. Yeah. I mean, it's annoying.
Thank you.
I think he brings up a good point. CeeDee Lamb is in the slot. He's on the left. He's in the right. He's in the backfield. And Terry, because Cliff Kingsbury has his air raid offense, you prepare for him. He's on the left every play.
I would like some motion. I would like move your best player around. Make it unpredictable. Move him into the backfield every once in a while. Do something crazy.
The good news is, I don't know if this is good news. Maybe it's bad news. We'll be stuck with Cliff again next year. Who's going to hire him? He's not going anywhere. Who's going to hire him?
Not looking good for him.
Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
I'm going to try to keep my composure so I don't wake up my fiance, but I got a couple points to hit on. First off, JP is absolutely right. You got to go for two in that moment. There's no weaker moment in that game for the Cowboys than after just taking the kill shot. You got a sketchy kicker. You put the ball in the hands of your best player, let him go win the game, and if he doesn't, you just stand on it. That's it. That's all you got to do. Because at that moment...
It never occurred to me. They're the Cowboys. They're terrible. We should just give them the beatdown.
You didn't have to have a sketchy kicker. You could have rolled out Gonzalez again.
We were terrible.
No, we were worse. But I thought the world aligned itself correctly after we got the fluky touchdown. And I'm like, all right, now we're just going to beat him in overtime, and we can all just calm down.
At that moment, the fact that we even had a chance to win the game after all of that,
I know, it's a joke.
You have to take that shot right there. Here's my second point. Kingsbury, okay? The scheming is exposed, all right? We know that Terry is talented, but he's not a true 1A wide receiver. He needs help getting open. You have to scheme him into getting open with pre-snap reads, pre-snap motion, okay? I'd like to see the quarterback under center. Remember, we had these same questions about the play calling early on in the season. They made some adjustments, things got better, and then it's like, oh, well, now I can go back to the same stuff that I was doing before because we've got this now. No. And that's what you're looking at. They're running the ball from shotgun every single time. There's no play action under center. And then my third point, okay, the whole rookie of the year conversation, the reason why Bo Nix is going to win it because of his head coach and offensive scheming. I watch a lot of those games on Red Zone. If you watch them, guys are getting wide open. And it's not because of talent. It's because of scheming. So until our offensive scheme gives Jaden the best opportunity to be successful out there, I don't see how he can put up the numbers to win it. I'm not saying
who cares about that award. I've said all along that award's dumb. Who cares?
Okay, it's dumb.
But it has to do with the way that the offense and the quarterback are playing.
Yes.
Yeah, but the offense is playing terrible.
You may not care about the award, but
I don't care about the award. It means nothing to me.
I totally agree that Terry needs to be targeted more. He has 74 targets in 12 games. By comparison, Nico Collins from the Texans has played in 7 games. He has 61 targets.
But maybe it's as simple. I don't know. I know nothing, so I'll admit that. I know nothing. But if you're lining them up at the same spot every time, and obviously the whole world knows that, mm-hmm. you can, before you even snap it, you can almost take him out of the play. You could shade help over there, and then now it forces Cliff or Jaden to look other ways.
Right.
Move the guy around. I love the idea, and people have talked about it for weeks. Move him around. Give him some help. Make yourself a little less predictable. By the way,
the rationale.
I was first on the double secret probation for Cliff. He was on secret probation at the beginning of the year, Cakes, and I put him back on probation last week. Cliff overrated.
The rationale that
I wish Jason was here.
The rationale they gave was that a lot of times they're an up-tempo. They don't huddle, but clearly you want to get Terry the ball more.
We were never in no huddle when it mattered yesterday.
Is Jason a huge Cliff guy? I don't remember.
Oh, he's a huge Cliff guy. Okay. Oh, he's like, oh yeah, Cliff guy. Oh yeah,
he hasn't been here so long.
He was a huge Cliff guy.
He's a Cliff guy.
Yeah, you know where he was
Jason
yesterday?
Used to be on the show.
You know where Jason was yesterday?
I heard he was at the game.
Reports are he was at the field where he swore he never was going to go. He probably owes us money, which we know we won't get.
He'll never pay it. Even if he was, he'll just renege on the bet.
But did somebody give him a chariot to go to the game or something?
I'm sure.
Float on a magic carpet there.
I think he flew in with Ruben and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I'm just mad because Farley saw him there, but Farley didn't snap a picture.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't and then matter. We have other witnesses who say he was there. It wasn't just one person.
Not like others corroborating it.
Yeah, yes. He was there. I mean, I don't need a picture. I believe it. First of all, I don't even care. I don't care what he does. Yeah.
No, it's just that he has sworn for years he would never go to that field again. And I think he's promised us money if he ever did.
Yeah.
Well, we know we're not getting that.
Yeah, listen, let's make it about me for a second. I want it to be known. I was the first to call out Cliff as a fraud. I did it at the very beginning of the season, and I brought it back last week. Fraud.
So you're admitting that you have been up and down.
You know what? I had to back off when we were doing good.
Some of the DBs.
I was the first to call it.
I thought you were worried you were going to lose them a few weeks ago.
Well, times change.
The Bears are going to have to readjust your priors sometimes.
I'm desperate for teams to take him. Get him out of here.
DB, some of the fantasy.
Get him out of here.
Some of the fantasy dorks I listen to on podcasts, they used to call him, and I think it's Fitz now, Fake Sharp. He's a fake Sharp. People think that he's good at what he does.
No.
He's faking everybody
out.
You
can't be that handsome, bang that many sillies, and also be a brilliant offensive coordinator. It's not possible.
You need a slob. You need a slob with
fat pig.
With glasses that all he does is stay at home and design plays.
Yeah. He's too busy.
You can't have a playboy out there.
He's too busy chasing tail.
You could have had that guy. His name was Ben Johnson. He could have been your head coach.
I didn't like him.
I'm just going to put that out there.
I know they're doing great.
Swept up in Dan Quinn mania. Everybody loves
DQ.
We don't have those weapons.
Oh, now you admit it. What happened? Yeah. See, this one was about EB's backpacking machine. Yeah. He backpats himself. See all the weapons? And then the weeks that it doesn't happen.
The running backs.
Yeah, Noah Brown. Weapon.
You don't have Jameer Gibbs and David Montgomery.
We don't have those running backs. We also don't have that. Amon Ra,
whatever his name is. How many times did you do this? I told you we have weapons. Oz. Oz.
Oz Zacchaeus.
Well, they're good enough. No, I thought around. Our weapons were good enough.
Admit they're not. You know they're not. Come on.
I'll be honest with you.
You have to admit it. I know. I look at your face and I know that you know.
Listen, I think it's more offensive line than it is the receivers. Too. But we could stand better receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll definitely acknowledge that. But we could also
and better tight ends.
We could also, yeah, probably. I don't know why I would play Sinnott. I don't know why they'll play him.
Ben Sinnott. If John Bates is on the field, Ben Sinnott must be terrible.
Well, John Bates is there again predictable? Again, he's their blocker.
I'm gonna target him because he just coughed up the ball in the middle of the field. When he had one opportunity.
Honestly, please tell me because I don't know. Because to be honest with you, at 4 o'clock, I turned the TV off. I don't even care about the other games. Although I did see Lauby had a 59-yard kick return. Did you see that? No touches though, but a 59-yard kick return.
Parlay dead.
Does anybody else line up their star receiver the exact same, like an X, like at start here, like put tape on the field? Like does every other team do that?
Does any other team
put their best offensive weapon at the same spot every single time besides a quarterback or running back?
Not sure. I know that this one lines up on the left, and he doesn't touch the ball enough.
It doesn't matter if it's left, right. But it's the same spot.
800-636-1067. All the lines are full. We'll bang out your calls next. Reaction to the Commanders losing their third in a row. 800-636-1067 if you want to call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines on a Misery Monday brought to you by Chiniga Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. So during the break, Cakes and I were trying to figure out how many three and outs this team had, and it's really hard to find online. So I actually went game by game. EB, this is going to floor you, I think. Except you know this because you've been watching the games. In the first seven games, Washington only had three and outs 8 times.
Right.
So roughly one per game where they would have three downs, punt the ball.
Mm-hmm.
8 in 7 games. Since then, if you include Chicago, the Giants, Pittsburgh, Philly, and Dallas, they've had 16. Mm-hmm. So double the amount in less games. But if you really want to go specific, they had 12 in the first 9. They've had 12 in the last 3.
Yeah.
The offense has not been the same. Definitely the last 3 games, but you can include the Chicago and Giants games. This offense just has not been clicking really since the Carolina game.
That's fair. The thing is, I'm not surprised that we're swooning. This is what we do every year. I've been swooning for 28 years. All right. It's not a surprise. I'm surprised, though, that the offense is so culpable and so responsible, because I would have predicted the swoon started and ended with the defense, and the defense ain't great. They're not getting enough pressure, but the defense was good enough yesterday to win.
Defense has one great player in Luvu. Luvu's a great player, but I remember the discussion leading up to the Eagles game, which jumped out at me and made me think about where this team should be versus where it was, like record-wise, was better than I think the talent is. And I think it might have been Elliot Shore Parks who came on the show and said this, or I saw a graph, and it was like, well, how many players that are on Washington's team would start for the Eagles?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you could make an argument for 2 or 3, and that's it, out of 22.
Mm-hmm.
They're under-talented overall. We knew this going in. They exceeded everybody's expectations getting off to a 7-2 start, which was probably fortunate. I mean, that includes a Hail Mary in there. That includes a game against the Giants where the Giants didn't have a kicker.
We got lucky to win those games. We got spoiled by the early success.
Yeah.
And we knew that this is a roster that needed multiple off seasons to get where they need to be. Now, they hit on the most important thing. They hit on the quarterback. Now, you build around the quarterback. You beef up the offensive line. And you got to get more pass rushers, too. Because to allow Cooper Rush to just sit around in the pocket all day and just scan the field and have his best game of the season, completion percentage-wise, he completed 75% of his passes yesterday. That's inexcusable.
They must have thought, well, we'll just cover and force him to beat us. Like, we won't pressure. Because they didn't pressure at all.
I don't understand. If that's the game plan, I don't understand that.
Waves. They were coming in waves.
He was sacked five times last week against the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
He's very sackable.
Where was Dante Fowler? Did they mention him once yesterday? I don't even remember.
Not that I can tell.
No.
He's our leading sacker.
The defensive line had a bad game.
All right, let's go to Kendall in Temple Hills. 800-636-1067. Can't even play the good play the bad hail. Play it. We deserve
I've
it.
I've got the bad hail.
We're not going to play
right
Titanic,
here.
But we're going to play. Yeah.
There it is.
it's
a putrid rendition of a great song.
That's the first time I dusted off the saxophone in 30 years.
Understood. Better than I could do. Yeah,
that might be the first time you've ever requested Sad Hail.
Yeah. Well, because we did. We
you need
earned
to let
it.
You need to let it sink in. You
we
need to let
earned
it burn a little bit.
Let's go to Kendall in Temple Hills. Kendall, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's up, Kendall?
JP 100% said exactly what I taught to say. If you look at our team, we don't have but one special player. And Louvu, I love Louvu. I don't want him to go anywhere. He's not special. You know, Michael Parsons is special. He's no
yes.
Michael Parsons. He's a good player. Jaden is special. That's it. And so Rivera has left the cupboard completely dry. And we were punching against, punching over our weight class in the first seven or so games. And now it's come. Now that you can't deny talent, and now the talent, the lack of talent, is coming to fruition. We're seeing it. So that's a bad loss yesterday. We should always show off that game, but it is what it is. I mean, we're ahead of schedule, and Adam Peters is going to cook this off season, and we're going to bring in some better players and draft some better players, and hopefully. This thing is on the right track. We are swooning a little bit, but it's not the same thing, man. This is a bad loss again, but the future is bright. And but Kingsbury, I don't even know what's going on right there because the offense it does not look the same at all. And I think that the narrative on him has been proven a fact. And I don't know what we got to do about it, but not a good day, man. Because yep. That team right there was just begging to get crushed.
Oh, they were awful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan.
They were trying to hand them the game in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, I mean, you get scoreboard, but trust me, you guys suck.
Brandon Aubrey's missing field goals. I mean, they were completely inept in the first half of the game when you could have capitalized on it and built like a 17 or 20 point lead. It was just impossible.
All right, the lines are locked and loaded. Valdez is making this weird motion with his hand because he wants us to go to break.
Got John Keim next. ESPN.com Insider covers the Commanders right here on a Misery Monday brought to you by Chininga Mios, 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.